Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed it is. What's up, y'all? This is the League of Dads Talk Radio. I'm your host, Christopher Smith. She is my co-host. Her name is...
Lady Q in the building.
Yes, she is. Miss Q, how was your day today?
It was pretty good today. I'm glad that my Q moment that I present today will not be because of something that happened today. Today was great.
Good. So you're kind of able to let your creative juices flow today, as opposed to getting something up your chest, hiding it under your Q moment. Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Well, that's good. That's good. Welcome to the League of Dads Talk Radio, y'all, for today, January the 18th, 2018. So we got 1-18-2018. So welcome to the League of Dads experience, y'all. We are actually broadcasting live off the Blog Talk Radio Network, WDAD 98.3.com FM. Today, I think we got a good one. Q, I think this is the best show that the League of Dads ever did. I think that.
What?
I think that. We're going to ask questions. We're going to put this stuff out there. And the question with today's show is, are you in a relationship that's only growing from bad situations? Are you in a relationship that is only growing from bad situations? So we're going to do what we always do. I always let you have the floor first, as I always let my co-host have the floor. And then I come in for the backup. You're always the opener, and I am, of course, the closing act. So please,
okay.
You have at it. Have at it. What do you think I mean when I say, when I ask, are you in a relationship that's only growing from bad situations?
I think that you're asking because I think people are not aware that they are in situations that are only detrimental to them. So when you ask, I mean, the first thing is, can you identify? Can you first make the affirmation that you're in a shitty relationship or situation? And can you identify it? Sometimes people need that type of help. Like, that's what we're here for, right? So we need to be able to, one, identify bad situations, what stems from it, and make sure you're not a part of it. So I think that's what you mean when you're saying, are you in a relationship that's stemming from a bad situation?
Very rare does it happen. That's actually right. That's actually correct. That's 100% right on cue. Yeah, really, for real. I'm sorry. Honestly, that's a first, which is a good thing. And me and Brother James was talking about various individuals that I could have had co-host this thing with me, and I was like, nah, I got the right one, goddammit. Okay. So kudos to you. All right. So. Yes. A lot of people don't understand that, and here's the sentiment of a relationship. You know, you got to take the good with the bad, right? For better or for worse.
Yep. Yep.
But honestly, I'm talking from experience. Me personally, I have been in worse. Decent. I have the last individual that I was dealing with, it was like worse, like, damn, is there a good anywhere in here? It was just, I did not see growth. I'm like, you cannot plant anything in with sewer water. You know what I mean? You water your grass with sewer water. Like, no, this ain't happening. Yeah, this is not good. So, I'm gonna ask you a question. Being a woman and all, not saying names.
Okay.
The people that you know, the females that you know, are they in relationships with men that is growing their intellect or their disrespect? Which one is it growing?
Definitely growing in disrespect. Their intellect is diminishing, and the disrespect is flourishing.
Okay. Let me tell people what we mean when growing in intellect or growing in disrespect. So in intellect, it's normally soothing. When you're in an intelligent conversation, it should be soothing. So your intellect grows. You and that person is sitting down there, y'all growing, y'all learning more about each other, et cetera, et cetera. But when we say is your disrespect, they're only teaching you just how many ways they can disrespect you. That's it. Ain't no putting no cotton candy on that. That's just simply sad. Yeah. It's just you're dealing with somebody, and it's just disrespect after disrespect after disrespect. I'm going to tell you, Mr. Q, about a situation that I used to be in. All right.
Okay.
Tell you about it. The woman that I told you that I was dating that called me up with the 54 inches, that person is what, when I think about this title, what we're talking about here tonight on Blog Talk Radio, WDAD 98.3.com FM, you can call in on the lead line, 319-527-6075. We are here every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. EST. Ms. Q.
Yeah.
When I think about this topic, are you in a relationship that's growing from bad situations, that's only growing from bad situations, excuse me, I think about that woman. I think about her. Do you want to know
okay.
why? Okay.
I think I have a clue, but you know the listeners want to know, so yeah.
Okay.
Let's play catch
right.
up.
Okay. Okay, all right. The reason why I think about that person is because, as I told everyone, even my friend that I was talking to today that in fact knew her, I said, listen, my offer still stands. My position with her still stands. I'd get back with my child's mom in a heartbeat before I get back with her. It's just hell no. When I say situations, when I say things with that woman were bad, I mean bad on top of bad on top of bad. It was like a bad marathon going on.
Oh.
If how many times you can disrespect somebody was on the Family Feud, it was like Steve Harvey wouldn't believe the answers that people would. If I was on the Family Feud, we surveyed the top two answers on the five answers on the board. We talked about Crystal, how many ways she can disrespect. Say she was at a sister house, but her sister called you and asked that she's at your house. Oh, you got one of those. You better believe it. Lying, knowing she went to. It would be like everything people be coming up with. Just lying out the side of her face. Oh, you think so? Lying out the side of her face is just everything would be up there. Everything would be up there. It'd run the gambit. That is just how bad the situation with that woman was. And here it is, 15 years later. She's calling me up, having proven herself to me, don't need her to, 14 years later. Actually, yeah, 14 years later. Don't need to prove herself to me. I don't want nothing from you. Yup, your ass is big. Yup, I'm sure some jiggy niggas will love your big ass. I'm not into that shit no more. I need a woman. And she just caught me up and thought that, oh, yeah, we can take another stab at this. The only stab, that I'm literally getting stabbed. That's
okay.
just what it was. Yeah, I was literally getting stabbed.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
Like, y'all joking.
Yeah.
I'm dead up.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
Right. Ms. Q, I'm going to ask you a question. Bad situation. Give me some examples of what's a bad situation from your state of mind, from your perspective. What is a bad situation?
A bad situation, I would definitely say, is, to me, the number one, I never understand it, is women that continuously have children with the man that lives with them. I don't get that dynamic. Like, it's like, you know, they're saying, hey, he's this, he's that, he's a bomb, he's this. But then I'm invited to your fifth baby shower. I never understood the, you know, the
wow.
the concept of, okay, I'm going to keep him here because I'm having his kids. And if I load him up with kids, then he's going to have to stay. So that's the number one thing that, like, boggles me. Bad situation. Like, the guy don't be taking care of the kids. That's the crazy thing. Like, he don't want nothing to do with you. He says it. He screams it. He yells it. He cheats. He lies. He shows you all the signs that you are in a bad situation. But they still be finding the silver lining. I don't know. It makes me think more positive about my life sometimes. I'm like, maybe things ain't that bad. If she can,
right?
She can see the situation is good. You know, I mean, to me, to a doctor, to a psychiatrist, it's bad. But, you know, so that's the number one bad
right.
situation is women not taking forthright into, you know, just saying, listen, you know what, let me not grow this community any larger than it needs to be. Let me take full responsibility of my actions and what I do and make sure that I'm not participating in the bad situation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Right.
That's like the number one for me.
Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't have never thought that you would pick that one. And the crazy thing about what you said was, in fact, that you said it like it's a normal occurrence. If it was just done once, I don't think that that would have been anything that you would have picked. I think that I guess once or twice is worse than a lot of little things. But the fact of the matter is that if it happens just once, that to me is like a train wreck. That's like a tragedy.
I mean, I gave that example because me growing up, that is a normal thing. It was always a lot of things that has happened to me have shaped me subconsciously. So subconsciously in my head, I ain't doing it. Like, I just knew, like, that ain't me. Consciously, I acted out. So that's what I mean when I say, you know, to me, a bad, bad situation is always going to be, you know, not, and I come from me not knowing my father, you know, my mother being a single parent. So that shaped me, you know, and I always said, that's a bad situation. I would never, ever, ever, ever want to think that I need to hold a man through a child, bringing a child to this world. So, but as I've gotten older, that's what I've heard. I mean, to this day, I'm 31, so to this day, you're talking from like 15, 16 to this day, that's still the number one top thing that's like, damn,
wow.
We still doing that? Woo! That's
right.
Back in 88.
Right. Wow.
You know, that's some crazy stuff. You said, wow, that's back in 88. I'm gonna tell you how things with me from the male perspective, and it may seem crazy, but it's simple. The crazy thing to me is just having sex with women that you absolutely have no intentions on wanting to be with, and I say that because there's too much that comes out of that, you know. There's like, you really don't want the consequences of getting a woman pregnant. Like, damn. Like, listen, go rob a bank. The time is less. It's less time. I mean, honestly, the only time, like, if you think about having the perspective of a male, I only know successful dudes. I don't know raggedy-ass individuals that probably be paying $5 a week in child support. So I only know top-tier dudes. So I'm saying to myself, why would you subject your accomplishments to this arena? Why would you do that? Why would you say, you know, okay, I got this girl pregnant, and now I got an 18-year sentence? Because that is like, that's a gamble. And listen, I don't care what nobody say. Ain't nobody strapping up every time. It just ain't happening. Ain't nobody strapping up. Ain't nobody like, take your girl off. Go turn that old girl. Oh, hold on. Let me put on this rubber. What? It just doesn't happen like that. I just don't think it. Go now, I'll fucking bite you. I'll bite you on that. Bar. Hold on. Let me put on a rubber. I just don't. I think, and this is my personal opinion. Actually, it's an opinion of a woman that I had on the show before, Ms. Delaney Spencer, and she said that a woman knows that 4 or 5 window block that she can get pregnant, and it's not what she stated was women don't have babies by accident.
Yes.
And I said, damn. Wow.
That's true.
She said, no. Yeah. She said, they don't have babies by accident. So, and honestly, I think about that with my child's mom. She had nothing going for herself and popped up with a baby. I'm like, how the hell did this happen? What? And that's just the way it is. And it's just, I look at that and I just say, that is, to me, is the worst. And I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
It's like you can do drugs and go to rehab and be out of it, get it out of your system. But
yep.
Child support is 18 plus years, and it's just I don't see it. I don't get it.
It's a hell of a sentence. It's a hell of a sentence for a one time occurrence. It's a hell of a sentence.
Very well said. For a one time occurrence, it's a hell of a sentence, and it's like a mandatory sentence at that. So you're not talking your way out of it. Before, child support used to be a bad thing. Now it's the norm. You chances of your, from a male perspective, chances of your Section 8 sauce, you know.
Yeah.
Chances of your Section 8 sauce going into a woman's Section 8 maker and that child coming out not being a Section 8 case, very rare. Very rare. So these individuals got to be careful. So... we're talking about relationships. Are you in a relationship that's only growing from a bad situation? Ms. Q, how could anything grow from bad? How can anything grow from bad?
Because that's not organic. You know, it's not organic for things to grow in volatile states or nothing that will be adapted from that environment. So, you know, like you said before in the last show, you know, we can't have weeds or flowers grow from shit. It's just, you know, it's just not a conducive environment for things to grow. And when things grow, it's nurtured, and it needs to have the correct conditions in order for it to grow to a adult stage. So, yeah, you know, that it's all relative at the end of the day, but I think it's because it's not organic. Things are forced.
Very well.
You know, timing is wrong, things of that nature.
Correct. What people don't realize is that if I drop a pen, something grows from it. The pen is going to hit the floor. If I push over a cup of water, what's going to grow from that, my action, is water going to be spilled all over the place. So the problem is even bad things grow. It's just bad. Fungus may not be good for your body, but hell, it makes a damn good Swiss cheese.
Amen.
You know, yeah, in the hell, man, boy, I tell you what, you're eating you some mushroom, boy, that's fungus right there. Some damn good fungus, some mushroom, boy, that's some damn good fungus. But it's bad, unfortunately. Bad grows too. Bad just doesn't stay there. That's where the term things get worse comes from. Why? Because the bad situation itself has grown. You know, the bad situation isn't stand fast. It's not going to stand fast. The bad situation is going to just sit there and say, hey, what about me? I want to mature too. I want to grow too. And so that's where we end up at with bad situations. Hey, listen, it's 20 minutes after. And we got some news. Ms. Q, what do you got for us in the news for the news today for the 18th of January 2018 here on the League of the Air Start Radio?
Absolutely. So I came across this. This was on USA Today. I thought it was absolutely mind-boggling I kind of fell for it, but then it was crazy, and it was totally unexpected. Like, it's really going to throw you off. So two boys were charged with felony convictions after a 500,000 bees were killed. And when I mean bees, I'm talking about honey bees. So in the Sioux City, Iowa, two minors are facing charges from an Iowa honey farm, which was vandalized last month, and it killed like 500,000 bees. Yes, and like, yeah, first of all, our children, right? Like, how dare us? Like, we fail our children, and we got nerve to be putting them through something like this. Like, basically what they did was, when they broke into the facility, they had disrupted the temperatures there, so it became frigid, and the bees died off. Mm-hmm. So it cost the company or the farm itself $50,000. Like, they're saying, yo, it's $50,000. So they basically arrested these kids yesterday, two boys ages 12 and 13. They're going to be facing charges of first-degree criminal mischief, agricultural animal facility offenses, which are both felonies, third-degree burglary, a felony, and possession of burglary tools, an aggravated misdemeanor. I mean, they didn't release the names of the juveniles, you know, but I mean, Lord, we are failing. It's so deep. I mean, kids are kids, but really they can't go to like, they can't spend a summer milling, honey. They can't like, you know, go to like community service or like really? We got charged them as adults as if the jails are not fully capacitated and making money as we talking right now. So yeah, I thought that was it touched my heart. I was like, I know those parents are going through it. Like, really? Like, I would raise the $50,000 right now.
I mean, I'm over here and my jaw is dropping. My jaw is dropping right now. I'm like, wow, and I'm hearing about this on my own show. So that's one thing that got me saying, oh, wow, this woman brought an extreme awesome element of news to the show. Yeah, that is. Do I understand it? I do. I understand it because of this. Right quick. I tell a lot of men, when you're sitting down there going through all the pain and everything that your child's mom is putting you through, that is damaging. It's other damaging. It's mental damaging. And there's a price on it. There's some people that never recover from this. There's people that do this and end up creating the League of Dads organization. But there's some individuals that they never come back from this. I have a friend of mine, Lady Q. He hadn't had his driver's license since 1991.
Oh.
Yeah. This situation destroys and it has long-term effects, of course. So I'm shocked, but who knew that doing that would cause that? And now, like I said, as we stated earlier, the bad grows. So that's I wanted to just drop that in there. What else you got?
So essentially what's going on with the Senate. The Senate is going to be doing a lot of, I want to say, like old school city hall, town hall, meetings. They're going to start implementing in each metropolitan city to allow people from all communities to give their take and things. I think the reason that sparked this is because now everybody see that Trump is crazy. So they're trying to gear up for the election that's coming up in the next, it'll be 3 years. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. They're going to actually start off by introducing it into people's jobs. So you might receive from your job a letter saying, hey, you know, we are going to house the community or should I say city hall town thing at your job first, because it's directly going to be taking class or should I say taking poll on the middle class citizens. So I thought that was pretty cool. Pretty cool levity. Yeah. I think it starts, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be starting this summer of 2018.
Wow. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. About time they want to go to people. About time.
Yeah. I think that when it comes to politics, this is just my opinion. a lot of people, Lady Q, they are under the impression that they are politicians only because of what they hear in the news. They don't know anything about how bills go through the House and then the Senate. They don't know anything about who to talk to. You know, when they hear something happen in Washington, it doesn't mean that where they live at in Seattle, Washington, by the time that law gets to their jurisdiction, it's going to go through their state and then it's going to go through their local government, and they may see a different version of the law. So when it comes to politics, I'm really not interested in talking to anybody about politics because I feel as though they're just not fluent enough in politics to truly be talking politics. I think they just only go by what they hear. They don't like it. Now they're a politician and they don't know politics. So I listened to that story, what you just said, and I appreciate it because that, I guess that's what individuals need. And I think that individuals, in fact, do need to get some type of one-up on the political process before it turns into a campaign, before it gets to that campaign trail. Yeah, yeah. So that was Miss Q with the news. You got anything else? Oh, that's it.
That's pretty much it. I have one other thing because I'm like a vivid. I'm waiting for Black Panther to come out. We talked about it yesterday. Uh-huh. I got my dashiki on fleek.
Oh my God.
So here's the thing what's going on with Black Panther that I found interesting. They have started, I don't know if you know, but basically when they open up opening day, it's sold out over the entire Marvel, like all opening days. Like the day they started advanced ticket sales, it completely sold out, and it has trumped all combined Marvel opening night, which is monumental. The funny thing I found is that they have now started on YouTube and on TMZ, they're going to have white people that is going to be basically translators of sci-fi to communicate to the Black community and vice versa. So they're going to have Black people that are like considered nerds and stuff that is going to communicate the vernacular and jargon and the tone to white people so that way it is a unified sanction. So I cracked up because I'm like, really? Like,
wow.
It took Black Panther for us to be unified now and have a table discussion.
That came from when you have a movie that is big as what you're saying, and I absolutely didn't know that. So I really appreciate your new segments are just right on the money. The reason for that is whenever movies have a big following, Star Trek has taught a lot of people, or should I say movie makers, Star Trek has taught them when you have a big movie, cash in on the landslide behind it as well. So I think that's what they're doing. They're cashing in on the landslide that follows, you know, because Black Panther is, you know, my friend, actually Antoine, former co-host, he broke it down to me. He was like, yeah, his suit stopped bullets, and Black Panther, every time someone get passed on the suit, now they develop their fighting style. He's like, there's absolutely nobody that can beat Black Panther. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, nobody can beat Black Panther. And I was like, wow. And I'm listening to what he was saying. And if you remember the movie when he premiered in Captain America Civil War, Captain America had some questions about him, about the suit. Like, your suit, is it vibranium?
Yeah.
He was just in the car like, man, I ain't saying nothing to y'all. You know?
Yeah, I'm very vested into Marvel. It was one of the pastimes that me and my grandfather grew up on. And yes, I think if I'm not mistaken, and I mean, if anyone wants to doubt me, they can definitely check it out. But I think in the Marvel universe, Black Panther is like number three as the like the most intelligent. He's either like number three or number like six. Like he's like right up in the top ten, up there with Shazam. He's as far as like the construction of the suit, like what vibranium did and what it can do. And as far as like the strongest, I think he's in the top 10 too. So yeah, ain't nobody messing with the kid. The kid is tight. Like, get out of here. Like y'all about to, everybody about to be reborn on this joint. So I'm just excited.
Yeah. How about that? Okay. Hey, listen, that was Q with the news. We are talking about relationships here tonight on Blog Talk Radio Network, WDAD, 98.3.com, FM. She's Lady Q. I'm your host, Christopher Smith. We do this thing weeknights at 6 p.m. on the Blog Talk Radio Network, streaming absolutely nowhere. So we were talking earlier about relationships, of course. And the last question that I asked, how can anything grow from a bad situation? So I kind of want to get back to that for a second, because you know females, and what I didn't tell you is about the males that I know. So the reason why I picked the example that I gave was a worse situation. The example that I gave was, how can anyone have sex with a woman and they absolutely have no intentions on being with the woman? So I'm going to talk about a guy that I know. I'm not going to give the title of what he is to me, but I'm going to talk about a guy I know.
Okay.
Married. So this guy, pretty boy, very flamboyant with the words, was messing around with this woman. This individual has a state job. One of the problems with state jobs, as I tell everybody, is everybody can know how much you make because you work for the state, and it is no secret. So this individual had a state job. And when I used to listen to this individual talk, he made sure the women knew he had a state job. He made sure. That was part of his rap. So, yeah, what happened was he got a woman pregnant. And he got her pregnant before he got the state job, and it was like, I ain't trying to. She ran that work, the gambit. She hit him with the gambit. I ain't trying to, blah, 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 blah. It was a blah. And so he got the job. Then about 3 or 4 years later, she gets pregnant again. Now she's like, I don't care. I know we just, you know, booty buddies, but I'm having this baby. No, you know, it's a lot of bees in there. Booty buddies, but I'm having this baby. Wow, okay. So he has the baby, and she has the baby, excuse me, and he's going into a fit. I can't believe she's doing this. I can't believe she's having this baby. She only doing this because I work for the state. And I had to sit this individual down and said, well, if you give her perks, then it works. You can't give the sideshow chick perks. When you mess with the side chick, you gotta pull up to the side chick in a hoopty or your bicycle. You can't show the side chick that you got a nice car. You going up to the side chick in your uniform because you cheating. And the side chick simply took him up on all that. And he's like, well, she only. I said, well, what other reason is she not supposed to? If you was a bum ass, then yeah. But you sitting up in here, you climbing up the ranks in your state job, and she wants some of that. It's an incentive to turn your sperm into a germ. She loves your Section 8 sauce. So I don't get it. Ooh. I personally don't. I don't get it because it's kind of, what is that word I'm looking for? It's like an innuendo. When a good thing ultimately becomes a bad thing, it's a facade. Because it's the pleasure that's an entry level to the pain that comes afterwards, as we stated earlier, the sentence.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a, I'm gonna ask you a question, Ms. Q. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever met a woman that got pregnant and didn't want to get pregnant, like, just was like, oh, no, oh, God, oh, what am I doing? Went into that panic mode, or was it pregnant, oh, I'm going to get this mug. What were the terms that you've known women to get pregnant under?
I would say it graduated from, oh, my God, I can't believe I got pregnant, to, you know, hey, I got pregnant. So, like, at first when I was, like, aware of different things like that, I would say that it was kind of like I knew what we were doing. You know, I just didn't think I would get pregnant on the spot. That usually used to be the thing. But now what women are doing is kind of like they won't say it's an after the fact. Like, they got to wait for the pregnancy, the blood test, everything said and done, then to say, yeah, I got you now, nigga.
So, oh,
yeah,
wow.
They're self now. They're very self now.
Wow. Wow. So basically you're saying they'll sit up there and won't say nothing. Testing came back positive. They still not saying
well,
nothing.
I knew it was you. That's what it is. It's like when it's, because here's the thing with ladies that I, you know, again, sorry, ladies, sorry. I gotta out y'all. Because if we don't, listen, if we don't grow, we won't know, right? So.
Wow. Very well said.
Women will put up this facade, play the part, paint a role. And they have to have their eggs spread out. You can't have it all in one basket because it's too humiliating if you came out wrong. So women got to spread it out. Like, I got to have, you ever heard in the news a woman having twins and it can come from two different dads?
Oh,
that's because they have to have enough batters at the plate. And then once they're able to nail you, jig is up. Now is, you know, I knew all along. And now you got to be a daddy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sad.
She said they got to have enough batters at the plate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually a video. We got to get together and do a video. batters at the plate. Wow.
When you're playing, when your girl playing for the Yankees, you didn't even get a ticket to the game. Dang.
Wow. I believe that cold-heartedly because it sounds about right. And what I mean by it sounds about right, I just can't believe and will never believe after what I heard that pregnancy is a surprise. And I asked that question. I asked that question because I knew when it came to that was that was the situation. And the situation is, you know, if a woman tells me that a woman's window is 4 to 5 days after, you know, it's just timing, it sounds like almost like you'll have better odds at playing a lotto.
A woman would definitely, I'll say a woman nowadays got five, definitely got a team of five. Like she got two that's like, you know what I mean? Like for different things, like they, you know, it's kind of like a McDonald's ordering type of situation. Like they are menu-naire. Like they got the thug, the guy that's stupid, the guy that got money, the player. They have all these things and they spread it out because in their mind, I'm going to get something. I'm going to get a consolation prize out of this some way, somehow. So, yeah. Yeah. And
wow.
Not all. Let me, lady,
me up or try to anyway. Try anyway. Try and fail. This is what has been passed down. So what, again, I've been exposed to this. I had my grandmother used to tell me, yo, Dara, you're dark skin. You better have sex with light skin guys. That is her implanting into my head. I have to have preferences now. I have to make sure I'm dealing with a light skin guy. If I want my baby to be pretty or different from me. And no fault, listen, no tea, no shade. My grandmother is a beautiful person. She's a saint in my heart. But these are the things I identify as I've gotten older. Like, damn, that's some shitty shit to say. Like, what was she thinking? But she couldn't help it because that's what she passed down. So the reason why women, I'm sorry, I can't hear you, I can't be on your side, I can't, because I went through it too, and I know what that shit has done to us, has done to me, and I went past it. I said, oh, hell no. If I have a child, oh, Lord, y'all won't know about it until you accidentally bump into me in the street. I swear to God, you wouldn't even know. That's a private, sacred bonding experience. Of course you would know, but if a chick or a guy out in the street see me pushing the cart, when was you pregnant? Oh, well, I got pregnant by my husband, and we celebrated.
Right.
I don't know you, so no need for you to know what goes on.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
Like, you know, and that's because of the experiences I've seen. I don't know you, nigga.
You say that too. I don't know you.
Wow.
Hey, listen. It is 6:41, and that is a perfect time to segue into a moment of Q. You have the floor, Ms. Q.
All right. So, Q moment of today. I'm all for Black Girl Magic. I'm a Black girl. I love it. I shine in it. I wear highlighter every day. So that's like my go-to. So that, you know, kudos to me. So I'm going to need everybody to chill out on this Oprah for President stuff. Yo, chill with that. I need Oprah to be Oprah. I don't need her. I don't need another Black woman coming out the ashes, raising from the ashes like the Phoenix to come save the world, because she don't get no credit for it no way. So let Oprah be Oprah. Like, let's go back to the things that have been put in place hundreds of years ago that all Black people hold to true, which is the white leading the land. Like, I can't have Oprah, you know, taking over. Like, they already got on her about her kissing Harry Weinstein, who's been accused of rape. I think it's like 20 or 30 counts as of today, might be more. But yeah, I'm like, I get it. I know she's a great, you know, thought about it, but no, we need someone that knows what they're doing, someone that has a very, very vast expert knowledge of politics and how to pull us out of this situation and put us back on course. Oprah, I love you, girl. Keep up with O Magazine and, you know, all that you do, and Oprah and Harpo, you know, production and all that. Please sit your ass down. I don't want to see you on the docket. I don't want to see you, you know, running, because that's going to hurt my soul. So that's my moment of today.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think Oprah is gaining so much support when it comes to this thing because she's Oprah and it's a sister thing?
No, I think it's because this is a turn of events. This Donald Trump has set us on a new course. Now it's up for whoever. I wouldn't be surprised if Carrot Top come out and say, yo, like, I vote for Tommy Davidson. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Dave Chappelle. Like, he has done something that is unprecedented. He has won a presidential election off no background. Like, his resume, no background. He set the bar, man. Now it's up for grabs, and that shit is scary. I'm going to need Oprah to sit her ass down. I don't need Oprah doing it. I love her. I love her as a person. I don't want to hate her because they're going to chop her up. You know they're going to chop her up.
The bar came down. Politics in the last 30 years has changed from the average everyday person that you don't know becoming into the presidency. If you look at Ronald Reagan, he was rich. If you look at President George Bush, he owned the fucking baseball team, the Texans.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter had a peanut thing. If you look at back in history, a lot of our presidents were rich. The Rockefellers and all these individuals, so it's mayors and governors. And then as of late, people gotten lucky, the average everyday person, Susie from Iowa, who voted on getting a stoplight in the middle of her small town, then ran for congresswoman in her, from her small town. And here's a woman that's from a small town of 420 people, but she's down there in Washington like she's a big wig. And Donald Trump, like I said yesterday, and people only want to talk about his business failures. Anytime a person can sit up there and talk about business, then you could understand how they can run the country. And I'll give you a small example of what I'm talking about. The next time you get a chance, watch Shark Tank. And what you'll see on Shark Tank
I watch it religiously.
Okay. You'll see Mark Cuban. He's always the one that's injecting the nuts and bolts of every little aspect. You watch Mark Cuban, he'll go, oh, God. He'll say to somebody, you're lying. He'll say to somebody, this and that. Look, I did this. Mark Cuban is the richest one on there by far. He's worth more than all the rest of them combined times a million. And he sits on there and he just listens to everybody. And he seems to know about business. Why? Because he used to have a paper route. He used to have a Kool-Aid stand. He used to do all this stuff. So when a person comes in there and try to lie about business, Mark says, well, how did you come up with this number? Yeah. Okay, back to this. You got to explain to me. Look, I think you're lying, okay? There's no way a business – and Mark Cuban gets mad because the person who comes up there is talking business – like, this isn't business. You bullshitting. And he told people that. And that's normally how it is. Take President Obama. Can he actually sit in Donald Trump's chair in business? I mean,
here's my thing with this. Here's the thing I feel like. Like, I feel like LL Cool J said it the best. He said it the best. It's so crazy. He told a reporter, asked him back in 95, yo, why didn't you take a presidency of Def Jam? Like, they offered you president chair. You did so much for Def Jam. You made their mark with them. This man said, yo, just because you know how to bake a cake don't mean you should run a bakery. Just because people may have basic knowledge of different things does not make them equipped to go into expert mode with different things. So I feel like with Oprah, yeah, she has a keen business sense. She can run this from a departmental standpoint, but politics is also very privatized. Like, there's a lot of handshake, wink and a gun type of action going on that I feel like, especially from a woman, that she's not going to be able to do. If anything, she'll do worse because they don't want to let her in. Like, Trump is in because he's a great storefront, essentially. Like, he's that big balloon, that, like, loopy balloon that be out in the, like, car dealerships and that you put the air in and it's, like, waving at you and stuff. That's what Trump is.
Yeah.
Trump is a distraction from, you know, the bad car salesman. So I feel like with Oprah is, like, Oprah's Oprah. Oprah's still, no matter what, you're black, you're female. So I feel like that's why I don't want, you know, like, her to do it. Because I feel like, yeah, she would be great, of course. I mean, on paper, she blows Donald Trump out the water. She can't do that much of a bang-up drive from Reagan and stuff. I mean, she's about as close to sainthood as John F. Kennedy, right? Like, John F. Kennedy is known for his civil rights actions, his movements, and his participation. So I need her to just sit down and like live that money, man. Live that money for me and live righteously and just not indulge into something that I feel like is going to trigger an even bigger World War III launch off.
Wow. That's exactly right. Because Oprah got rich off of the entertainment business, and that's a little different than business. It's business, but it's entertainment. So I definitely agree with you from the perspective of Oprah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was just making sure that we just was aware that back in the day, there were in fact a lot of millionaires and billionaires that that you know were in fact went into public office and what I was saying. Make sure I'm messing around. I got sent an email. I was reading the email. I forgot what I was saying. So yeah, I was just making sure. Yeah, that we understand that, in fact, yeah, there were billionaires that was running the thing. And Donald Trump, I just look at him different from the perspective of a man that was his father was – he was inherited, his family. And quite frankly, I listened to a speech that he gave in 2015. And I said he's going to be president, and it was the speech that he gave about car auto manufacturers. He said, "I'm tired of these auto manufacturers. You move your plant to Mexico, you cannot bring your product in America." Who the hell says that? And that's how it should be. If you move out of the U.S., you should not be able to export your shit back here. Period. I mean, damn, it's a simple arithmetic. And when he said that, I said, "You'll be an ass not to vote for this man." And I say that with no disrespect to nobody, literally, meaning you'll be an ass. But I understand inflation. I understand the GDP. I understand the value of our dollar. And I've been to Detroit, as I stated earlier this week. I've rode past GM plants and car manufacturers, and I see how Pontiac plants closed down, and it's a shame. Like, you're looking at buildings that are blocks long, metal buildings, nothing. All that real estate, nothing. Why? Because the car manufacturers are still pushing a product in America. That's like another drug dealer allowing another dealer to mail his sales from another block to a new block. It's like, no. Your runners need to be here so I can kill them. Your runners need to be here so I can deal with them. Are you in a relationship that's only growing from bad situations? That's what we was talking about here tonight on the Block Talk Radio Network. We try to come up with titles. We try to do things because I am I want to educate people. I want to expose my many different talents. I asked this woman, Lady Q, to rock out with me to do this thing because of her perspective. I personally think that there are people that thought that if I was going to have a co-host, they should have been my co-host. Sorry, but I just didn't. I just don't think highly of you? Do I dare say your intellect is not as high? Or do I just say that I don't know why you thought that because I never hinted to you, and that's just the way it is. So she's Miss Q. She'll be rocking out with me on this machine as long as she can. Miss Q, we're going to put a bow on this thing. Please give us a couple of minutes of a final word.
Absolutely. So, you know, bad situations are not finite. You know, you can always recover. You can always come back, scale back, assess, readjust. and tackle it again. I want to give a quote for Ayanna Vasant. This woman is remarkable. I wish she, I mean, no offense to my mama, but damn, I wish this was my mama growing up, because she'd be giving the tea and she'd be dropping these gems. So the most appropriate quote that I would like to leave us with today is, choice is a divine teacher. For when we choose, we learn that nothing is ever put in our path without a reason. So, Ayanna, thank you so much for that, because, you know, she damn sure right. You know the reason why you do what you do. You better stop.
Wow. Well, Ms. Q, I definitely appreciate that. Tomorrow on the Blog Talk Nation Radio Network, here on Blog Talk Radio Network, should I say the League of Death Talk Radio here on Blog Talk, we're going to be talking about some situations that were sent to me by my co-host about some situations about fathers in courts. I'm going to see if I can pull that video up, put it on the system, see if I can just get into the studio and rough draft it, kind of hook all the equipment up, because I hadn't put the floor down in the studio yet. So I don't want to really go in there, but I think that's what I got to do. I got to makeshift it. Yeah, because I want to play that video.
This is a big one, yeah. I know you did, because that was that big one where the girl killed herself after hearing the judgment of the father taken. Yeah, we got to really dive into that. That's going to be like.
Right, yeah. So we definitely going to do that. We're gonna go ahead and get that thing going on tomorrow. So I really hope to see you here, you guys here tomorrow, in 23 hours, same time, same league station. Love it up. And as always, I would like to end the show with thanks to my co-host. Thank you all for listening. And remember that we should always regret the day that the earth make the sun fight to shine upon us. We'll see you guys in 23 hours. Later, y'all.
Later.